News. News Radio 1180 WHAM proudly welcomes you to Soundbites. This is America's longest-running computer show. Call the show now, 222-1180. The Choice One toll-free line, 1-800-295-1180. Or Star 1180, a free call for Verizon Wireless subscribers. Now, here's Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. America, and all the chips in the PC. It is Saturday, the 14th of August, Anno Domini 2004, and you lucky people, you're listening to Soundbites. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Ben Turchin.
And this is Soundbites, and we'll be bringing you all kinds of interesting stuff. News, information, cool websites. We may even take a call or two. You never know. We're going to start with the news, and we'll start with Dave.
Okay, a couple things. One, the kid that wound up developing the W32 Blaster-B worm. That's the one where it was literally shutting down windows and trying to get itself out. This kid now is facing between 18 and 37 months in prison. And could wind up paying literally millions, that's millions, in fines. Because so many companies were literally crippled and data lost and everything else. Excuse me, because of this kid developing this virus and just, sending it out there. Which is unusual. Because most viruses, for the most part, are developed from third world countries. Which is kind of contradictory to the spamming. There's a group in Washington that wound up finding out that 86 of the spam sent to like 1,000 entrepreneurs between May and July came from the U.S. Now, normally we've been saying most of it came from overseas, but turns out with this study that a lot of it is literally coming from U.S. companies. Now, they could be registered in other countries to get around it because of the rulings and everything else. It's just like, betting, supposedly gambling and everything else. You're not supposed to do that online. But, heck, you can open up a casino in Antigua and run your website out of there and do offshore gambling. Yahoo and AOL, though, are now going to take advantage of this technology that Microsoft has in it to more or less filter out all this spam. So they're taking advantage of that, and they're hoping to have that out within the by the end of this year so that it will literally check any emails and all this stuff coming in that could potentially be spam and want to infect your machine, how you get some of the stuff, and then all of a sudden it takes over your website or keeps wanting to send stuff out and everything else. So they've got two tools that are built into Microsoft that they're going to take advantage of and really put this in effect. And try to filter out some of it, because it's just becoming too overwhelming for most folks. I mean, they're just getting tired that, they go to check their emails, and 99% of them is all junk.
Right.
But
there's already been a couple of restraint of trade lawsuits against AOL and Yahoo and whatnot for blocking legitimate business email who are following the current spam laws. So we got to see how that plays out, too.
So, this is going to be quite a tangled web they weave.
Yep, and it's going to be interesting, and the lawyers are going to win.
So
we'll see where it goes. Steve?
Dave's got to get his tool back out on this stupid mic stand. Ooh, all right, nobody breathe. It's at the right level. well, we had a slew of updates come out of Apple this week, including a security update that fixes the Ping library exploit we talked about last week that would allow people to take over your computer through a PNG graphic file that came in through the web. And they also released a minor system update, version 10.3.5, improved functionality and reliability, especially for NTFS formatted volumes. So if you're sharing workspace with Windows users and logging into an NTFS server, there's also enhancements into the Bluetooth technology, FireWire, USB technology, a new version of iSync that handles several dozen more phones now, so you can synchronize your address book and your telephone numbers between your computer and your cell phone over Bluetooth. So that's getting to be really pretty slick. And also DVD John, as he's been known, a Norwegian. He was a kid at the time. He's probably 18, 19 by now.
Right.
Who originally broke the DVD encryption layer. He's a Linux user, and he wanted to watch movies on his Linux computer. So like most Linux guys, he wrote his own player.
Right.
And in order to watch movies, you have to know how to decode the encryption on the movie. So he figured that out and then posted his program to the Linux forum so that other people could do it too. He got sued by the MPAA and the RIAA and everyone you can think of, and was found not guilty and exonerated of the charges because what he did for his personal use wasn't illegal.
Right.
And other people may have used it for legal purposes, but that's not his fault. So this week he released a new program that he's calling JustPort that allows you to stream your iTunes music without using iTunes. So that he, so again on your Linux box, if you want to, he already figured out how to buy music from the iTunes Music Store without using iTunes,
right?
On Mac or Windows. So he's doing all.
Yeah, but nobody cares about that because you're still paying for it.
Right, you're still.
He's
paying.
Not stealing it. He's right. Just buying it on a different platform.
He's exceeding the license agreement that says you have to be using iTunes on Mac or Windows.
Oh yeah, okay.
So it's technicalities there. So he's buying his iTunes music on his Linux box and playing it on his Linux box. And what he just figured out this time is Apple's new AirPort Express technology allows you to have a wireless hub next to your stereo and send your music from your computer, Mac or Windows again, wirelessly to your stereo. So you can play your music on your stereo, not on your computer speakers. So he figured out a way to do that on his Linux box. Again, not using Apple iTunes under Mac and Windows. So it's interesting.
Yeah, but it's not just his iTunes music, right? I mean, you can play anything through that program.
Right, you can play anything through it, and he specifically figured out how to use the Apple lossless codec, which is a really slick new codec that they're using. As you may be familiar with, the standard uncompressed audio AIF is about 10 megs a minute. MP3 got real popular because it brings it down to 1 meg a minute by compressing the data and throwing away stuff it doesn't think you'll miss.
Right.
Apple started using the AAC format, the Advanced Audio Codec, which is part of the Dolby Music System,
right.
last year or so, which is about as good a compression as MP3, but much better audio quality.
Right.
Now they have a new lossless compression codec that's about 50% compression, so it's 5 megs a minute, but it's lossless compressing, so there's losing no data. So the audio purists who can hear how bad MP3 is,
right.
Love this new lossless codec. And it's an Apple proprietary technology that iTunes streams over wireless to the AirPort Express. And this guy figured out how to read that file and play it on his Linux box. So it's he's doing this all for his personal use with programs he's written with music he's legally purchased.
It means that now Apple can sell AirPorts to Linux users.
That part might be okay, but he's working around Apple's copyrights. And there's a lot of rumors on the net that they might try to sue him under the DMCA like they did Real last week.
Right.
He's not doing anything technically illegal.
Right.
But one of the clauses of this stupid law we've talked about is that if you work your way around somebody's copyright, that is now illegal.
Right.
Even though you're not seeing their code, you're not doing anything with their code.
You're not making any money off it.
Right. If you make money, that's even worse, but
right.
You don't have to make money off of it.
Right.
If you figure out a way around somebody's copyright, that is also illegal.
Right. Just another bad law.
Yeah.
There's a surprise. We'll certainly keep you informed of where that leads. In the meantime, listen up because it's patch time. Yahoo has a patch for its Instant Messenger. If you're using Yahoo Instant Messenger, believe me, download the patch right away. AOL's Instant Messenger has a critical flaw in their away message format. So if you have if you're using AIM, AOL's Instant Messenger program, you can post automatic replies such as, I'm away or whatever, but there's a security hole in the away function that lets an attacker cause a buffer overrun and then take over the machine and blah, blah, blah. So make sure you update that. There's a beta client that will be released eventually that will fix that. Before Christmas?
Who knows? So in the meantime, either don't post an away message or don't use AOL Instant Messenger. We have a lot of people who listen who are part of a business. If you have an exchange server in your business, there's a big flaw in that. And Microsoft has issued a patch for it, so make sure you get that. And again, if you're an AOL Instant Messenger user, the next update, the one I just talked about, you can get a whole bunch of extra stuff, new wallpaper, new sound effects, new icons, and it's just $10 a year to get that.
Yeah, I was over,
or $2 a month.
I'm just over a client. That still amazes me, these kids with IM.
Oh, yeah.
Dozens of IMs. Over
I'm working list. On this other computer. Here the girl's on her computer doing IM, and she's on the phone with her girlfriend that she's IMing.
Yeah.
With one of them.
Oh, she only had one session open? Piker.
No, she had all her friends there, but one girl that she's sitting there IMing most, she's also on the phone with her.
Yeah, sure, it's the way that works.
You remember when you used to pay extra to not have a party phone line?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. We have a few bumps on the road to Windows XP Service Pack 2. No major potholes so far, but a bunch of little things are a problem. Microsoft, of course, has characterized Service Pack 2 as a critical must-have update. All Windows XP users should deploy it as soon as possible, but a lot of IT shops said they're waiting to thoroughly test it with their applications before deploying it company-wide. IBM, for example, which has 400,000 Windows desktops, Windows XP desktops, has blatantly told their employees, don't install it. They're holding off.
They
can be fired if they install it because... they said there are a lot of compatibility issues, not only with the web applications that IBM itself has created, but also with programs that they use internally from third-party companies. It breaks some things inside of Windows. It changes the way some things work.
And there's still the whole issue of if they don't know what else is going to happen.
Yeah.
This is,
right.
You know, it's not even out yet, and people are reporting problems with the beta copy. What's really going to happen when you install this on your machine? If it's just you, who cares? But a giant company with hundreds of thousands of computers that suddenly go down and you can't get any work done.
Right.
One thing I might want to caution folks, though, is right now, if you get Windows XP, quite often it wants to go up there and do the updates. Well, they got one now that they've got a new front end for the updates and downloading it. And you have the option to automatically just do it in the background or say no. And that way you can then pick and choose the one.
But it comes up by default as automatic in the background. Just do all the updates no matter what.
Yeah,
and Microsoft's website is now saying turn on your automatic update because it's coming soon.
Yeah. Right. And you can go into that and say no. And this way then it goes back to you can pick and choose. Just like you did before. But, you know, you got to, if you're doing some of these updates, one of the other updates to the updates is to automatically turn this on. So once the SP2 service pack comes out, you could be away from your computer if it's on and you've got it set to automatically download and install. You could leave having a good running machine and then it reinstalls the service pack 2. You reboot and all of a sudden, don't work.
And then you come back and it's broken. Mm-hmm. And you call us, and we say, what changed? And you say, nothing. Well, as far as you're concerned, you're right.
Right.
But, in fact, you're wrong because there was an update in the background that you didn't even know happened. Well, in addition, we're already finding some problems. There are a couple of security experts and vendors this week who talk about the introduction of the Windows Firewall, which is part of Service Pack 2. But the firewall, it is an improvement over the current firewall. It's
They're touting it like this is a brand new feature. There's been a firewall.
It just didn't work. Unfortunately, the new one
works too good.
While it's an improvement, it still falls short of the standard of protection that's expected of commercial firewalls, according to these security experts and vendors. The problem is, it is switched on by default, which is a great step towards stopping viruses and things. The problem is there are two major flaws. First, it does not block outbound traffic, as Zone Alarm does, the product we've been touting for a long time. And, oh, by the way, it can be switched off in the background by another program, like, a virus.
Isn't it? special.
Isn't that special? So if you're running the new Service Pack 2 and you have the Windows Firewall and you're sitting there all fat, dumb, and happy because you've got it and you think it's actually working for you, right now it probably still is. That may not be the case in the future, since it can be turned off quietly in the background inside your computer without you knowing it. In terms of Service Pack 2 itself, there are an interesting load of things on the web about it right now. We're seeing some people saying they love it. It runs great. It made my machine faster, sexier. Its teeth are whiter. Its breath is fresher. Other people are saying, yeah, I installed it. It didn't do a thing for me one way or the other. Big deal. And then there are some people who are claiming that it's done some serious damage to their machines. For example, there some people are saying that it's killed their antivirus software. Mostly we're seeing that from some Symantec folk. We're finding that it seems sometimes it blocks people from getting back to the network, because while it installs its own firewall, it doesn't tell you that, and therefore you have two or even three firewalls running. And they're blocking, and they don't work. And it's just causing a slew of headaches for computer tech people who just don't have a clue as to what's going on. There are some hardware glitches also showing up. For example, once you install this service pack, you no longer can use Microsoft's wireless keyboard.
Isn't that
interesting? It changes the way Windows allows remote desktop connections, and all kinds of changes are happening in the background. We'll keep you in tune with these as we go along.
But at least they weren't, impartial there. I mean, they made some of their own hardware
stuff. All right.
Not to work.
Exactly. We're going to take a quick break, but we're going to be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Ben Turchin, me, Nick Francesco. We're going to take your calls. We're going to talk about some more interesting things right here on Sound Bites on 1180 WHAM.
WHAM's talk you can understand. It's Sound Bites, America's longest running computer show on News Radio 1180 WHAM. Once again, here's Nick Francesco.
Welcome back. I am Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
I'm Ben Turchin.
And this is Soundbites. I got one more quick thing to talk about before we move on. As you all know, there's been a series of ads from Microsoft about a lower total cost of ownership compared to Linux. That is to say, it's cheaper in the long run to run a Windows-based server system than a Linux-based server system. Also, a Windows-based desktop system as opposed to a Linux-based desktop system. And, of course, the Windows people say that it's lower total cost of ownership for Windows. Linux people saying that's ridiculous because it's thousands of dollars for the software and our software is free. It goes on and on and on. Well, this last Friday, yesterday, the 13th, yesterday being Friday the 13th, David A. Tell, a noted security professional and the managing director of vulnerability assessment firm Immunity, published a paper entitled Microsoft Windows, a Lower Total Cost of Ownership. However, it's ownership with a zero. Hacker speak for taking over somebody else's computer. Basically, he's saying it's a whole lot easier to take over a Windows-based machine
than
it is to take over anybody else's machine.
In fact, one of the arguments is it's so easy to hack a Windows machine, why bother with the Mac and Linux?
Well, that's exactly right. That's, a large part of what keeps Mac and Linux machines from being hacked is not that they are inherently superior operating systems. It's just that if it's a little harder,
why bother?
It's like years ago, I was sitting at home. My dog was barking in the window. I looked out, and there was a police officer going down my steps from my porch. So I opened the door, and I said, is there a problem, officer? She said, no. She kept on. I said, no, wait a minute. You're at my porch. I got to know what's going on. She said, look, there's been a couple of series of robberies in the neighborhood many years ago in a different place. And we're just checking to see that everybody's safe, and I know you're safe. She said, well, I said, how do you know I'm safe? She said, well, I can hear the dog. Mm. And I said, what do you mean? She said, look, here's the reality. If you've got a dog and your next-door neighbor doesn't, if a thief comes and hears the dog, they'll go next door.
Yeah, the number
unless they know I own the whole diamond and it's sitting around in my living room, they're just going to go next door. It's
the number one selling alarm system in America is from Realistic. Radio Shack.
Sure.
Oh, it's a sticker that says alarm system by Realistic.
Yeah.
And if
and
you have one on
thing.
Right, if you have one on your house and the neighbor doesn't, I'm going to go rob the neighbor's house.
That's
just
exactly
in case
right.
There's a real alarm there.
That's exactly right. And it's true in the case of real stuff, and it's also true in the case of Windows. It's just easier to take over Windows machines. You see all the script kiddies, the people who couldn't hack code with a gun to their head.
Yeah.
They do know enough to download code and make one or two small little changes and then use that code to hack into machines. All of those scripts are written for Windows machines, so you see a huge number of things out there for Windows machines. That's why we're constantly telling people update, patch, make sure you're secure.
Or don't use Windows.
Run all this stuff. You know, that's the kind of thing that we're talking about. So there is a lower total cost of ownership for Windows machines. We're going to take another quick break for another Olympic update and all kinds of interesting stuff. No Olympic update this time? We don't need one. And we'll be back in just a few minutes with a lot more sound bites on 1180 WHAM.
They would rather do their show in a chat room. It's Sound Bites with Nick Francesco on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Ben Turchin.
And this is Sound Bites, and we're going to go to the phones.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you. My gosh, apparently I'm allergic to the phones. We're going to go to the phones now, and we're going to talk to Gary from Greece. I apologize to everybody. Welcome, Gary. What's your question?
Well, gesundheit.
I apologize for sneezing, not for going to Gary from Greece.
Gesundheit.
Thank you.
Well, I really enjoyed the show, and I'm hoping that you guys can help me out with a couple of things. I have an easy question and an not so easy one.
Okay.
The easy one, I think, is my mother has a Gateway computer with the dreaded ME. And I would like to put XP.
He wasn't listening. All right.
I was waiting. I was waiting for this step away from the microphone.
His lip is bleeding as it.
Well, there's hope. I want to fix it. I didn't choose the computer. It came preloaded with ME.
Right.
And I would like to stop the lockups by putting XP Home upgrade on top of it.
What speed is it?
Well, that's what I'm calling to find out if it can handle it. It's a P3. It's either an 833 or an 866.
Yes, no problem.
And it has, if it doesn't have 512 megs, I can make it that way.
Do it.
Yeah, minimum.
Yeah,
okay.
You're good. Yep.
All right, so it should be able to handle it.
Yes.
Now, the only kind of proof of ownership that we have is that, like, rescue disk. Is that enough?
Well, when you do the upgrade, though, all you're going to have to do is...
It just looks to see if there's a Windows already installed on the computer,
yeah.
Doesn't it?
Oh, all right.
Yeah.
Yeah, you don't actually have to hold your receipt up to the screen.
If you ever had to wipe the machine out and redo it,
mm-hmm.
You'd have a problem.
Okay. Well, don't intend to do that.
Then jump off that bridge when you come to it.
Yeah, okay.
Exactly.
That's my line. I like that. All right.
Or as my father used to say, because he was in the Seabees, we'll build that bridge when we come to it.
Ooh, okay.
Yeah, who's the first on the beach? You know, not the Marines or the SEALs. It's
the
Seabees.
Absolutely.
They build the beach for the Marines to land on.
We got to have all the comforts.
Yep.
All right. Well, now I got
my wife was in the Air Force, so they just fly high overhead and drop bombs.
Oh, there you go.
What's your other question?
Well, this one's tougher. My daughter's computer is a P3 500
mm-hmm.
with Windows 98.
Mm-hmm.
And she has all kinds of games loaded on it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that at some point along the line, something happened to the CD-ROM. Because
mm-hmm.
when we put in a music CD...
Mm-hmm.
Get a message that says Windows Media Player performance. Windows Media Player encountered an error when reading the CD-ROM drive in digital mode. Click OK to switch to analog mode, or click cancel to retry playing. Well, cancel doesn't do anything. Click OK, and I get a new message with a big red X. It says, Windows Media Player encountered an error when reading the CD-ROM drive in digital mode. You can try to use digital mode again, or you can switch the player to analog mode. But it's already in analog mode.
Can it read other CDs okay?
Yes.
Data
although
CDs.
Not always, the auto run doesn't always work. Sometimes yes, sometimes
like,
no.
Well, it's one of two things. Either the driver has been changed by one of the games, and reinstalling the original driver from your original setup CD should help that, or the CD drive, the CD really is going.
Well, I don't think the CD really is going because I've tested it in my machine and it works fine. And unfortunately, I don't have drivers for this CD-ROM.
What version of Windows 98 is it?
It's 98SB with all of the updates.
Okay.
It's the CD-ROM is an IO Magic, and the Windows 98, when I loaded it, instantly installed whatever drivers it found and thought would be sufficient.
Have you tried uninstalling the media player? You know, if you go into Control Panel and under Programs, I mean, no. In the Control Panel, under Systems, and then it'll show you the next tab over. It'll show, you know, like communications and other software and all that. Uninstall the media player and try rebooting and reinstalling it?
No, I haven't tried that. I tried unplugging it, shutting down so it would think that they're no longer with
no,
the
No, you can uninstall it within Windows.
Okay.
And in the Device Manager.
Yeah.
Try removing it from Device Manager, rebooting, and see if
yeah,
it
in the Device Manager. And go in there, unclick it, reboot the machine, and then you're going to have to reinstall it and then reboot and see if that fixes it.
Okay, in the Device Manager.
Yep.
All right, so I go to CD-ROM and Properties, and do I just say...
No, go to Start, Controls, in System.
Yep.
You'll see the Device Manager.
Yep.
Click on that, go in there.
Okay.
Pick the CD-ROM and click Remove.
Okay. Great.
Okie doke. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to go to news. We'll be back after that with website of the week and the poll and all kinds of interesting stuff. More calls.
Something very crucial about current update.
Exactly.
A very good program that we've been recommending.
There you go. Back in just a few minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Ben Turchin, and me, Nick Francesco, and all of you on Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
America's longest running computer show, Soundbites, on News Radio 1180 WHAM. Get online now. Call 222-1180, the Choice 1 toll-free line at 1-800-295-1180, or *1180, a free call for Verizon Wireless subscribers. Once again, here's Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Ben Turchin.
And you're listening to Soundbites. And we're back to the phones and touching?
Talking?
Okay.
Apparently we're not talking.
Can we go to another
well.
Break because I'm not, apparently not ready. We're going to talk to Rich from Canandaigua. Welcome, Rich. What's your question?
Hey, good afternoon, guys. Thanks for taking the call.
Sure.
Hey, I'm in network hell.
What happened?
Thanks for your call. See you next week.
Well, it's not that bad, actually. I've got three computers. I got two for the kids and one for my wife and I.
Mm-hmm.
And hooked up, I've got the high-speed internet through Frontier.
Mm-hmm.
And I've got them all hooked up to the wireless network at Netgear G wireless network.
Mm-hmm.
They immediately found the high speed. And so all three of them are on the high speed. Life is good. We can do that. However, I cannot get these things to find each other or to talk to each other to save my life.
What OS
are
they running?
Settings.
What's that?
What OS are they running?
Two are 98, one's XP.
All right. Here's the thing. You've got to go into the if you took and set up, you know, the network,
uh-huh.
XP by defaults to MS Home as its workgroup name.
Uh-huh.
98 machines by default to workgroup. So what you got to do is have all three machines within the same workgroup, And if you want to share files, you also have to, on the 98 machine under the networking, set up sharing, which is a button under networking. You've got to say, along with your TCP IP address and all that, you've got to turn on sharing. The machines have to reboot after you also put in the name of the work group. Then you have to right-click on, say, double-click on my computer, right-click on, say, the C drive of those particular machines.
Or a specific folder that you want to share.
And say sharing. And then you have to set up the rights within that, whether it's read-only or full access or dependent upon a password.
And so there's several steps involved. You have to load sharing as a service in the network. You have to set each machine to the same work group name. Then you have to actually mark a folder to be shared.
And I did most of, I think I did all of that, actually. And what is, you hit network neighborhood, and I can't even see each other. In fact, I went in, I named them all MS Home. You know, just the default to the XP.
Sure.
And, in fact, when I did the XP, they said, basically came out and they said, you've got to use RCD in your 98 machine, which I did.
Yeah, there's a home networking wizard that that XP will let you set up for older computers.
Yeah, and that's what I did. And but it's still, they won't find each other. One thing I ran into is I'm looking at my protocols, and I say, which ones do I use? I've got NetBUI, TCP IP, IPX.
You just want TCP IP.
And that, well, right, and they all
take
have
out
to be
the NetBUI.
Same.
Okay.
Take out the NetBUI on the 98.
TCP isn't browsable. You need NetBUI to have the browsable option in network neighborhood.
Right.
Without NetBUI, you have to go to start run and do /// the name of the other server.
Okay.
So, in fact, putting NetBUI into XP is tricky. Because it's hiding in there.
It does NetBUI over TCP IP, but 98 does not.
I see.
So for the browsable nature of network neighborhood to be able to see the other computer and click on it, you need to have NetBUI loaded.
Okay, so you're saying...
But it doesn't need NetBUI on the others, the 98.
On all three of them.
You either have it or you don't. If you're going to have it on one, you got to have it on all of them.
Okay. Yeah, but I'm saying if he takes NetBUI out of the other 298 machines, it just runs TCP IP because he's got the router hub.
He won't be able to browse through the network neighborhood. Right. He'll have to go /// in the name of the machine.
Or
the
IP address of the machine.
Right.
Because of the 98.
Right.
So I should keep it.
Well, yeah. If so, you're going to have to figure out how to get it into, it should work if it's in all three and you've got the home address.
If you do a search on Google and do a search on, say, installing NetBUI on Windows XP, do a search on that, and it will tell you exactly where to find NetBUI on the CD because it's buried.
I think we already have a link to it, too.
On there to, put it on the XP box.
But I should take out the IPX, SPX?
No.
Yes. That's for Novell network.
Yeah, you don't want IPS,
that.
SPX.
You don't have any printers
PIP.
That are using it, do you?
I'm sorry?
Sometimes ISP, SPX is used by some printers.
Right, but it's probably take it out. See what happens.
Take it out.
That may be where your problem is right there. If you're running that, it may be interfering with the other.
Okay.
Start there.
So, because the other thing I'm trying to do is I've got a parallel print server, to go through the network as well, and, of course, none of my machines can find that either.
Right, and that depends on which one you're using and how it works.
Uh-huh.
As to what protocols it's using.
Yeah, and actually, I think what it recommends is keep all three protocols available for it. But
well, you know what? Let's just jump off one bridge at a time. Start with TCP/IP and get the things working.
Yep.
Then see about adding the printer because you don't know where your problem is.
And put the NetBUI in XP.
Okie doke.
Okay.
Great.
And I just found a Microsoft article on how to install NetBUI in XP, and we'll put it on our link list.
And it'll be there in just a couple of minutes.
Okay.
Our next caller is Bill from Brighton, New York. Welcome, Bill. What's your question?
Hi, guys. I'm having a problem reinstalling Windows XP. I've got a P3 750 megahertz with a 20 gigabyte hard drive that came with 98 second edition.
Mm-hmm.
I upgraded to Windows XP.
Mm-hmm.
I then partitioned about 8 megs of that off and set up Linux operating system, Red Hat 8 on it. And then I got some virus problems. Everything just sort of crashed. I managed to get the Windows 98 reinstalled onto the computer. I've removed the dual boots and the partitions that had the Linux on it. But whenever I go to try to upgrade to the Windows XP again. I keep getting a message that it keeps finding another operating system and shuts down. It's being blocked by the second operating system.
Right. The problem is this. When you install dual boot, which means two operating systems on the same hard drive and you get to pick between them, you can decide which operating system controls that dual boot process. What it sounds like is that the first time you set it up, you told XP to manage it, and the second time you told Linux to manage it. Once Linux is managing it, XP won't install. Not that it can't, it just won't. It refuses to. Because it wants to own the boot sector.
You'd have to F-disk the drive.
So the problem is, in order to put XP on a dual boot system, if Linux is controlling the dual boot process, you unfortunately have to wipe the whole machine out and start again.
Okay, because I know that the dual boot doesn't show up anymore, and I've gone into F-disk, and it does show the DOS extension, and it shows the C drive. Is there a way to incorporate that leftover memory that's on the disk and incorporate it back into the...
If that other 8 meg that you set up, if you delete that partition, okay?
They're deleted.
Right, but
it shows up on
you can't add total
memory system, but for the C drive and the extension only shows the reduced memory.
You can't add it to the existing partition without erasing that existing partition too, unless you get a program like Partition Magic, which can merge partitions together. And if you do want to run multiple OSs on one computer, it's much easier to buy a second hard drive and try and do it that way. And then you tell BIOS which hard drive to boot from, because the bootloaders and boot managers never seem to work very well.
Okay, because I know I tried Partition Magic, but when I upgraded to Windows XP, it didn't like Partition Magic anymore.
You need a new version of Partition Magic to understand the NTFS that XP uses.
Okay.
Version 8 can merge XP partitions together.
Okie doke.
Okie doke, then.
Thank you so much. We're going to take another break. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Ben Turch, and me, Nick Francesco, and each and every one of you on Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites, on News Radio 1180 WHAM. Got a computer question? Call the boys at 222-1180, the Choice 1 toll-free line at 1-800-295-1180, or star 1180, a free call for Verizon Wireless subscribers. Now, here's Nick Francesco.
Welcome back. I am Nick Francesco.
Hey, Ben, right? I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Ben Turchin.
And this is Soundbites. We're going to get back to the phones in just a couple of minutes, and when we do, we've got a special guest on the line. But before we do, we got a couple of quick things we want to talk about. I want to quickly talk about our poll. Every week we do a poll. Last week's poll was about floppies. 422 of you responded at making it number 18 on the all-time hit list. I want to thank each and every one of you. We talked about the polls, and the question was, I still use floppies, regularly, rarely, or never. And the 53% of you said rarely, followed by 22% who said regularly, and 21% who never use it. And, of course, 13 of you said, it's all about the paper tape, baby. This week's poll is about Google. Google, the search engine that everybody on Earth uses, has an IPO, an initial public offering. They're offering stock soon. If you've been following it, it's like the perfect wrong way to have an IPO. They're going to be in the textbooks as doing everything wrong. But you'll be able to invest in Google, buy shares in the company. Right now, it's a pre-sale auction, and they're going for somewhere between $105 and $135 a share. Now, obviously, not a lot of you are going to get it on day one, but the question is, will you invest in Google? And that, of course, would be now, in the future, whatever. I don't really care when. So far, 92 of you have responded. The vast majority of 84% of you have said no, followed by, huh? Apparently you don't follow the news, followed by a mere 4 of you who've said yes. Once you're done with voting in the poll, please head on over. You'll see below the poll a yellow box. and that click that opinion button and you or link, and you get to go over to my website, AskNick.com. That's AskNick.com. And once you're there, you can enter your opinion about this. So far, we've got a dozen people, and a number of them actually are about the question, which is awfully unusual. But so please vote in the poll. Once you're there, get on the forums. You'll find some of the great people from our forums there. We're going to talk to one of them in just a minute. But before we do, Dave's got a website, O the Week.
Yeah, what we're going to do is set up a new feature here. I'm going to try to keep up with it every week. But offer you folks, we'll have to set it up on the website. A separate thing that we can...
Well, we've got this. I mean, you know, I thought we'll talk about that.
Yep. Anyways, what we're going to do is offer you folks some interesting websites that you might want to check out. And this one happens to do with scrapbooks. I couldn't get over the number of folks that are now across the country, even over in Europe, that are getting into scrapbooking.
It's big.
And there is a great website that if you want to check this out, they've got some real good software that's very reasonably priced at scrapsmart.com. That's scrapsmart.com. Go and check them out. I mean, it happens to be a local company here. It's a division of Visual Horizons. But the stuff that they have out there for folks in doing scrapbooking is unbelievable. I mean, you can even do searches within if you're looking for a particular thing that you want to do your scrapbooks on, and it'll find it for you. And pages and everything, it's very user-friendly, and I would highly recommend going and checking that out. If you're into scrapbooking, especially a lot of the younger parents seem to be wanting to do these scrapbooks up for their kids, tracking everything that they do and, you know, throughout their whole life until they graduate from high school.
Yep.
So go and check it out. Again, that's scrapsmart.com.
And that'll be up on our
already
list.
Is.
This week's website of the week.
Website of the week.
And I'd like to say hi to Rob down at our Monroe Avenue store, Mac Ave. We've had a lot of interesting people come in this week looking for iPods. It's the latest hot new craze. No one in town has them except us.
Excellent.
We've got 20 or 30 of each color in each size.
Great. I need to talk to you.
In fact, a guy came in yesterday to get his computer looked at, and he noticed we had a pile of iPods. He came back in dragging his wife. And said, my birthday's next week. Buy me one of these.
Yeah.
So we've got all the colors except gold. No one has ever seen a gold yet, but we got plenty of silvers, quite a few of the blues, and a few of the pinks. The gold is just hard to find. I guess they didn't think anyone would buy gold. See, that's always the problem that any company has when they're deciding on colors. Which color is people going to want? How many of each color do we make? And they always guess wrong.
Right. Speaking of colors, nice segue. One of our favorite people in the forums is on the line right now, Moody Blues 100. Welcome, Moody. How are you?
Pretty good. Congratulations on the beginning of your 16th year.
Thank you so much.
We've got that corrected now.
Oh, excellent. Good. I'll check it out later tonight.
Service Pack 2.
Yes.
Call me stupid, but I downloaded it last week.
Uh-huh.
And
you had nothing to do over the weekend?
Excuse me?
You had nothing better to do over the weekend?
Computer's been running fine.
Yeah.
Of course,
well,
I haven't
downloaded
been
the 80 meg
much,
version,
but,
though, right?
It's been running okay. The only question I had is when it rebooted, I have Zone Alarm. I use AVG. And it came up, and Zone Alarm seemed to be working fine. I was wondering if I needed to disable the... firewall in the service pack.
Yes, you do if you want to use Zone Alarm, which, by the way, we recommend highly.
Yeah.
It's a great product.
Okay, well, I had Zone Alarm on prior to that, and it's been, I didn't bother on installing it, and it came up, told me Zone Alarm was installed. Okay, anyway, I should uncheck the firewall in XP. The other question is...
And for everybody else, you need to think about this because, as I said earlier, the firewall in XP is okay and it works fine, but it only catches inbound stuff. So if you've already got a virus or you get a virus some other way, it doesn't stop it from going out again. Zone Alarm does stop it.
Okay, because Zone Alarm has been popping up and telling me things are coming in, things are going out, and it seems to be functioning fine.
Yeah, it is, but at some point you're going to run into problems if you're running more than one firewall simultaneously.
Okay.
So pick one, and I suggest you keep Zone Alarm.
Yeah, that's what I was going to do. The other question was about AVG. It actually told me that my definitions were a couple of weeks old and allowed me the option to update them, which I did.
Mm-hmm.
Again, no problem. Everything seems to be running okay.
Right, and it will because at this point, at least, we're not seeing any problems with Service Pack 2 and any antivirus programs, except, as I said, some people are saying that Symantec or Norton's, same company, are causing some problems, but it's only been, we don't have any particulars yet.
Okay.
So it should be fine.
And it's people like you that we like that take that plunge, download the software, find all the problems to let us fix them.
Well, right. I figure the worst-case scenario is I reinstall Windows. How bad can it be?
Can it be? 6-7 hours, you're done.
Well, never be the first to install an update on a production
right.
machine.
Right, and what's his last name? Osborne. Adam Osborne said many years ago, pioneers are the people with the arrows in their backs.
Well, they've been posting on the forum, and most of the people posting have had positive results from it, so I figured why not jump
right. In general, what it looks like is home users are fine. Corporate users are having trouble.
Okay, I do have XP Pro, but it is at home.
Right.
One other thing we should mention to folks that it just came out this week is a new version of AdAware, a product that we really both. They finally came out with AdAware SE, and just in this week alone, there has been three updates. They came out with the original version, then they did an 01, 02, and now there's 03. The nice feature about this new AdAware is if you're running Windows XP and you have multiple users on your computer, when you download and install this new version of AdAware, what it does for you is, one, it uninstalls the old version. In the install, it will say, do you want to, you know, if there's multiple users, all users of this computer or only this one? I always take the default, say all users. This way, you can have it show up on everybody's desktop so they can all run AdAware on their, because a lot of these spyware programs bury it within the identity of each person.
Right.
So this way, it shows up on everybody's desktop. The old version only put it on that one particular user that was signed on and installed it. So I would recommend everybody go to the our website, soundbites.org, dance the tango, and download and upgrade to the new version of AdAware.
Right. And Moody, I got a question for you.
Yeah.
It looks to me like you're listening to us over the net.
It's like I put on hold.
Well, right. But it was coming through okay?
Actually, I left the computer because I had to come downstairs, and it was buffering a little bit, but for the most part, pretty good.
Okay, good.
I was only on dial up here.
I've got a new computer. Actually, I have an old computer, and I've reset it all up, and I'm delighted to hear that it's actually working. 11 people right at this moment are listening to us online. That's kind of nice.
AdAware SE works with the SP2 also.
Right, excellent.
I've got both.
Excellent.
Great.
But thank you.
All right, one other quick question.
Yeah.
Would I get a better boost from upgrading my CPU to an Athlon 2700 or adding another 512 gig of RAM?
Both.
Well, what have you got now?
If you had to pick one or the other, what would you pick?
What have you got now?
An 850 Athlon.
How much RAM?
512.
Go to the processor.
That's what I was leaning towards because they're both about the same price right now.
Yeah.
All
right, thanks
for
your help, guys.
Okay.
Take care. Bye-bye.
So, yeah, there's a – and Moody we trust. We like Moody. I don't know why, but we do. But he's a good guy. And he says that Service Pack 2 is working great for him. And just – and not only is he a computer geek, but he's got those sound bites up on Sound Bites. And you should check those out, too. They're pretty hot. We have – our next caller is Andrew from Fairport, New York. Welcome, Andrew. What's your question?
Good afternoon, gents. Thanks for your help.
Thanks.
I just put a new wireless router on my wife's computer last night.
Uh-huh.
I'm not sure this has anything to do with it, but when I'm logging into XP, I've got the desktop, but I've got no icons or menu bar, and I've rebooted the computer a couple of times. And while I was on hold waiting for you, it finally showed up, and I figured, the problem went away, but I rebooted, and it's still doing that. I mean, it's still not getting any kind of a...
Okay, now hold on a second. Is this on your wife's computer that you're having this problem?
Yes, it is.
And you say you put a wireless router on her machine.
I set up the wireless router through her machine last night.
Did you load any software, was it using the web?
Just using the web to set it up.
So no.
I mean, I can't.
So the wireless router is not actually on her machine.
That's correct.
Okay. Right. That's what I was.
But it was a recent change, and he remembered that recent change.
Exactly.
Not many
that's
people
what
do.
Right. So what you're saying is your wife's machine is now wireless and takes forever to start up.
That's right. It takes forever to start up, and that's all of a sudden. And when I first start it up, it says, click on username, and I do, and it says, welcome loading personal settings, normal XP Pro setup. But now I'm sitting here looking at her at her screen.
Is the wireless built into the system, or is it a card that you plug in?
The wireless is a separate system. It's a Netgear wireless router.
And she's connected to it wirelessly or by cable?
By LAN card. She has and the same LAN card that was in here for the last 2 years.
And it by cable?
And now, it's by DSL.
Right. And right. But, I mean, there's an actual physical wire to the router from her machine.
That's correct.
She's not wireless.
That's correct.
Right. And this is... is the router on ahead of time? Is the router always on?
The router is always on.
Okay.
And this, I can't figure it out. I'm sitting here looking.
It's operating
properly, except that I'm having no icons on her screen. I have her picture that she likes on the desktop.
Right.
But
that
no menu
up.
Bar and.
What I'd like to see. You do is next time you reboot the machine,
yes.
As soon as it comes up, Control-Alt-Delete and bring up the task manager.
Well, I can actually do that now.
And take a while, we don't have, can't just sit here and wait while you reboot, but
yes.
Do that and take a look at what's taking up most of the CPU.
There might be a process.
I can actually
get to the
task manager right now.
Okay, yeah. And then email that to us at soundbites.org.
Yeah, there's two things we're thinking of. It's either the new wireless router is slowing the machine down, trying to find the network, or something else has happened inside Windows that's
coincidental or whatever.
Right? And it could be spy program or virus.
Did you download Service Pack 2?
No, I did not.
Okay. Yeah, because we just don't have the time.
New first question, right, by the way.
Yeah.
Something is
eating up the system resources before it finishes loading your desktop, and the task manager might tell you what that process is. But you should also see if you can, maybe on the other machine, download the Tango programs, especially
right.
Stinger and Adaware SE.
Now, it's unlikely to be the router if the other machine doesn't have this problem.
Right.
Well, you mean the wireless machine?
Yeah.
The wireless machine has been working flawlessly.
See?
I mean, everything worked fine. Her computer worked fine last night. It's only when
this morning
I rebooted it.
I think it's a coincidental problem with the machine.
It might be. But do that and then email us that information.
Well, we can't really get into that right now because we got other callers in.
Okay, well, thank you, Dave.
But, yeah, please email us and we'll finish it offline. But I think that's the place to start.
Yep. And I bought. How do I reformat my hard drive on my IBM? Dave, I bought a new IBM ThinkPad at your suggestion.
Well, again, email us and I'll talk to you that offline.
Basically, you boot your system CD and run FDisk and format.
Thank you very much.
Okie doke. But email us and we'll give you a longer. That's not a better answer, but a longer answer.
More detailed.
More detailed, yeah. Exactly. Thank you. Our next caller is Mike from Geneseo, New York. Welcome, Mike. What's your question?
Hi, guys. I'm looking for something that'll give me the capability to record like radio shows off the internet.
Station Ripper.
What's it called?
Station Ripper.
Is it available in any of the computer stores?
Yeah, just go do a search on Google.
There's dozens of free and shareware audio recording software and several commercial ones, depending on what you want to do with them.
I just had a client come in and say how great this one is because he can sit there and even record songs in it for his own personal.
That's when you're doing a streaming. Yeah.
Yeah.
Is there a radio replay? Is that a heard of that?
Total Recorder is one we've talked about for years.
I personally use Total Recorder. It's $12 to register it.
Audacity is another one.
And it does, well, the nice thing I like about Total Recorder is that you can automate it. I can say at 5 p.m., mm-hmm. start up my streaming media player and record everything till 7 p.m. and then shut it all down.
Yep.
I can do that on any radio station across the country, like Utah, where Bob Lonsberry's on.
You can do that on any radio station that broadcasts over the Internet, yes.
That's the only way we can get Lonsberry now, because Wham took it.
Yeah, I know. You have all kinds of stations all over the country.
All kinds of options.
That you can do that to. There are also a bunch of, for those of you who are interested in all kinds of music, there's a thing called Shoutcast, where you can go there at shoutcast.com and put in the type of music you like, alternative, classical, Celtic, oldies, whatever you like, blues, jazz, and it will bring up a list of the stations that do that, that play that sort of music, and then you can stream them and enjoy them as much as you want. We're going to take another quick break.
If you check through our link list, search for audio, you'll find all the different audio programs we've talked about over the years.
There you go. We're going to take a quick break back in just a few minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Ben Church, and Nick Francesco, and all of you on Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
50,000 watts. Huh. I wonder how many gigabytes that would translate to. Welcome back to Soundbites on News Radio 1180 WHAM. Here's Nick Francesco.
Welcome back. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
I'm Ben Turchin.
And this is Soundbites. We're back to the phones, and we're going to Joe from Buffalo. Welcome, Joe. What do you know?
Howdy. I would like to say that if you're going to do a dual boot system, I would definitely recommend not doing a totally automated Linux install, because you don't know where it's going to put the boot sector.
Right.
And when it does ask you, hey, where do you want this, put it on your Linux partition. That way it's out of the way of anything else like Windows XP that will refuse to install if you put it on the master boot record.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
The real question is what we said earlier, is which one do you want controlling the dual boot process?
Exactly why, yes. If you put it on its own boot sector, you can always set that partition active and have Linux take over the boot process.
Right.
Or you can set another one active and say, hey, this one's going to take the boot process.
Right.
The other question I had is, any of you had experience with Fedora Core Release 2, and what are your impressions?
I have not installed Fedora Core 2 at the advice of the magnificent and truly wonderful Tony Placilla, who comes here once a month or so and is our Linux guru. He says, stick with one and wait for three, skip two.
Tony should be on next week.
He should be on next week.
Yeah.
Well, from what I've seen of it just got really, really complicated. They went to a model of what they call MAC, or Mandatory Access Control. It just looks like it complicated the heck out of it. And it looked like really hard to do.
Well, I'll tell you what, listen next week, and I'm pretty sure Tony's going to be on, and we can ask him that question.
And he can give you a more in-depth answer, but the short answer is wait for three.
All righty, then.
Or don't put it on your production machine.
Go back to Core 1. Core 1, by the way, you can upgrade to all the stuff that's in Core 2 without getting the control problem.
Yeah, and one final question I had... is I have this spreadsheet in OpenOffice.org that I put a currency formatting on a certain cell. On my normal X server, it looks fine. But when I try and run it under XVNC, for some reason the cell turns to pound, 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 like it's got some sort of error in the cell.
Yeah. Well, and it's not an error. The problem is it's a different font in XVNC, and the cell's too narrow to show the answer. If you make the cell wider, you'll see the answer again.
Oh, okay.
Yes, the pound, pound, pound means I can't display the information. It's too
narrow. That's what I thought.
And it's just because it's a different font under XVNC.
Oh, would you think this might be an XFS or XFont server problem?
It's not a problem. It's just the way it's done.
Oh, okay.
I mean, it's a feature, not a bug, I guess. The way you have to look at that. You just make the cells a little wider and you're good to go.
Thank you for the help.
Absolutely our pleasure, Joe.
In most of the spreadsheets, if you double-click the cell boundary, it will make the column as wide as it needs to be to show
the right-hand cell boundary.
Yeah.
The right-hand edge there, that little right edge. Okay, we're going now to... You know, I got to tell you, Ben, you write small. For these old eyes, I'm good, but my eyes are getting old.
All right, I'll take up the whole page next.
If you got a big black marker as opposed to the pen. Our next caller is Mike from Gates. Welcome, Mike. What's your question?
I got a couple of issues. One issue I have is when I go to run and type in msconfig, the screen disappears right away. It won't let me get in there.
That is a virus.
Mm-hmm.
That is preventing you from turning itself off.
Dance the tango.
I have to run.
Have you ever looked at the security tango?
I have SpyBot and AdAware.
Yeah, except you need to go to securitytango.com.
Right.
And start and click the Let's Dance button and start right at the top.
The Left Dance button?
Let's Dance.
Left Dance.
Yeah, you need to
Let's Dance. Let's Dance.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and you need to run Stinger to catch the worst viruses. You need to update your AdAware to the latest.
Every time I try to update AdAware, it never says that there's anything.
There's a new version.
Right.
SE
well, that's
now.
Well, and before that, you're probably running an older 6.0. There's a little button there that says download 6.1.
Right.
And then there's updates to that. Now you need to download SE. And there's updates to that. They've updated the major version.
Seriously, you need to go to Security Tango. Start right at the top. Don't skip any steps.
Okay, I got one other issue.
I'm sorry. We got to take a break. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Ben Turch, and me, Nick Francesco, and all of you on Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
Question you may have. So call the boys now at 222-1180, the Choice One toll-free line at 1-800-295-1180, or *1180, a free call for Verizon Wireless subscribers. Now, once again, here's Nick Francesco.
Welcome back. I am Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
I'm Ben Turchin.
And we cut Mike off in the middle of a problem. Problemus interruptus, and so we're back to Mike from Gates for the other half of his problem. Welcome, Mike.
Well, thank you. But the other problem is when I start up or shut down my computer, I get a message saying Internet Explorer has caused an error in delete.exe.
Yeah, that's part of your same problem. So you got to dance that tango, and it's going to give you this. It's going to fix everything.
Yep.
How do I get the new AdAware 6.1?
Just go to the securitytango.com.
Right.
And start right at the top, and after you get to the Let's Dance, just follow that all the way down.
There's links to the various programs right in that page.
Right.
And you just do it.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you.
There you go. It really is becoming more and more necessary.
A machine doesn't leave our shop now without SpyBot and AdAware on it.
It shouldn't.
And I mean, we tell folks.
And by the time they get it back, you've done Stinger and you've done all the rest of the tango on it.
And then it comes in a week later because they didn't update it.
Yeah, right, exactly.
Oh, I had a client sit there, but I have McAfee on there.
It's not
and they
anymore.
Only had the firewall.
That virus
their Norton ran out, it was like February of 2002.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, viruses are getting to be not that big a problem anymore. It's the spyware that's worse.
It's the spyware that's causing machines to slow down. And the real problem is badly written spyware, which crashes your machine.
Yep.
Our next caller is Dave from Greece, New York. Welcome, Dave. What's your question?
Hi, guys. My question is...
Are you at the Olympics?
No.
Go wrong, Greece. Sorry. Go ahead.
I've currently got an Athlon 2700 Plus machine,
mm-hmm.
and I'm upgrading it and passing my system down to my wife.
Ooh.
That speeds up her system,
mm-hmm.
and I need to replace the system, and I'm trying to decide to go with one of the Athlon 64s or switch to AMD or Intel or Athlon 64FS?
Personally, I'm a big fan of Athlon.
Yeah.
I admit it. AMD is a great company.
I just upgraded my machine to 2800 Plus.
Yeah.
Just this week.
AMD is a great company, and I'm very impressed by their products.
Here's the thing about why I like the AMD versus the Intel. You know, they're trying to get away from this technology of rating it, 3.3 gigahertz versus a 3,000, say. what AMD has done is they've added one more task per cycle. So in other words, say, just for number's sake, say the Intel is doing, same chip number, say the Intel is doing 3,000 tasks per millisecond. The AMD does 3,001. Now, it's not any faster, but it's just doing an extra task per millisecond.
And Intel is finally acknowledging that megahertz as a single rating for speed doesn't make
Yeah, tell
make
the whole story.
Right? Which is something Apple's been saying for 20 years now.
Yeah.
That why the Apple running at 1 gigahertz is faster than an Intel running at 2 gigahertz.
Well, but in terms of Athlon versus Intel, I think the Athlon just is, it has a faster cache. It seems to be a much more solidly designed product at this stage.
Mm-hmm.
Should I stick with the 3000 plus or go with the 64 running Windows Pro, XP Pro?
You mean a 64 bit?
Yes.
Yeah, the new Apple.
I wouldn't buy a 64 bit unless you're going to run Linux at this point.
Yeah, because it's going to be like anything else. It's the newest thing on the block. It's going to be overpriced by next year at this time. You know, you're probably going to
And you can't use it anyway right now if you're running Windows.
There aren't that many 64-bit programs. And you have to use a special 64-bit Windows that is
yeah,
right.
kind of hard to buy.
I mean,
anyway,
you're just wasting. Why pay for something you're not using?
Go with the 3000.
Go with the 3000. Looks like we're done for another week. I want to thank each and every one of you who called in. I want to apologize to everybody to whom we did not get. You got to call early and often on this show, I'm afraid. I want to thank Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Ben Turchin for keeping us on the straight and narrow. I'm Nick Francesco. We're going to be on at 1 o'clock, or at noon rather, noon next week, because there's a 1 o'clock Yankees game. We'll see you next week at 1180 WHAM. This is Soundbites.